We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Samus Fandiari here. Across from me is the man, the myth, the legend, Aaron Larsoul. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. How you doing?
Good. We're recording this day after game one. The Nuggets are good, man. They're good.
Yeah. They're good. And I mean, yes, they're good. And Miami just is a... They are a bad matchup for Miami. So they're better and they're a bad matchup. So yeah, this one is going to be over quickly.
I'm watching Denver have so many thoughts. And the number one is just like how much we're going to talk about all the things the Warriors can do on the roster, particularly like with veterans that maybe they didn't pursue this past season. But none of that shit matters if your team is not locked in wanting to play together. We saw it with the Warriors 2 years ago. It was a key reason they won the 2022 title. And we saw last year what it looks like when your team is not connected. You can't really say the 2023 Warriors lacked talent. Maybe they could have used an extra piece or two, but what you could say is like, they didn't really like playing with each other. Is the vibe I got all year.
Yeah, I mean, what is it, the old Denny Green, right? Like, they are who we thought they were, right? The Warriors showed us all year that they didn't like each other and were disconnected and couldn't win on the road and failed down the stretch in big games. And it was all 30. They got away with it in the first round when it was all 30.
Save us, Steph offense.
Yeah, it was all 30 in game seven, right? So they got away with it. And then... You know, I think it was a matchup thing with the Lakers. I think the Warriors are probably better than the Lakers. And I think the Warriors maybe would have beaten Denver because nobody has been able to test the weakness that Joker has defensively. He's been a lot better as a rim protector, shot blocker, taking up space in the paint. But the thing that has given him trouble for years was him having to switch out on the perimeter and dance with somebody. And none of the teams that they faced had somebody that could really test that. And a little bit, but other than that, right? You're not getting that from Phoenix. You're getting pull-up jumpers, mid-range jumpers.
And Phoenix's offense is like tailor-made to make it easy on Jokic defensively. Correct. It's like, I just have to hang in the pocket and not let him get to the rim. Okay, I can
do D'Lo, that. I thought D'Lo would be able to do that a little bit. I thought D'Lo would have a better series. I thought he would be able to do that a little bit because he's pretty good out of the pick and roll. But he likes to get guys in jail and get to the mid-range too. He's not going to dance on the outside and drill threes in your eye.
Right.
You know, like Steph Wood or Trae Young or Dame, one of those guys.
Sure.
So I think the Warriors would have had a better chance just based on matchups. I think the Warriors would have had a better chance against Denver.
My honest thought is I don't think they beat Denver. I think a version of the Warriors where it doesn't feel like they hate each other does.
Though. Yeah, yeah, that's
you know?
Fair.
Yeah. And I will say this. I kind of think the way the season ended will help the Warriors because I feel like a lot of players had their own agendas, veterans, young guys, everyone. And a little humbling is like, even if they don't make massive roster changes, I expect Klay Thompson to come back better. You know, Klay going, tribute to Kobe mode. I don't think we need to see that, you know, like, so I think he'll be a little humbled. There'll be a little more buy-in there. I think Draymond spent all year trying to make up for what he did in camp. I think Jordan Poole, if he comes back, will come back a little more humbled because he had just a bad year. And just down the line.
Didn't play, right? Clay came in out of shape because he didn't play last offseason.
Exactly. That's part of it too. He came back, they win a title, and then he didn't really come into camp in shape. So I think just from that standpoint, you know, like the greatest teacher is failure, right? Yeah, like Steve Kerr said.
I hear you and Andy talk about that a lot. A lot of the guys in Kuminga, right? The first year in the league didn't, you know, and Moody, their first year in the league, they just win a title and it looks easy. And then, you know, whatever you think of the combination of the front office and the coaching staff and their own responsibility and their development didn't happen, obviously, this year. But blame pie you want is fine. But it seemed pretty easy for those guys in year one.
So I don't really want to talk about trades they can make. Like, if you were to ask me, I still do think it's more likely that they move one of their big contracts this offseason just because of the apron coming in the following year. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a decent chance Jordan Poole, of all players, is probably moved. And that'll have the largest impact in terms of next year's roster. It just will, right? Yeah. Like, they don't have any other avenues in free agency. Like, they can't go out there and acquire Brooke Lopez for $20 million, you know,
not anybody specific, but conceptually, do you think it's a move to cut money, or do you think it's, I mean, obviously you can't just get a nobody, but do you think it is actually done with an eye on improving the fit, improving the roster, or if it's just, he doesn't get along with the guys and we need to save some money?
Both. I think it's highly unlikely they take back as much salary as they give out. But I think it'll be one of those things where they have to have an eye towards talent. It might be a move where they take back players who are not individually as good as the best version of Jordan Poole, but they're more comfortable slotting into role, that type of thing. So you can say it's both a basketball and a financial move. I don't know. It's a tough needle to thread. Like, I get what you're asking.
And then are you willing to give up picks?
Right. I mean,
it's not terrible, but it's not positive.
Obviously, if you're willing to put a pick with Poole, you get back a better return than if you're not, you know. So your point, you know, we'll see how that stuff goes. But I think irrespective of what they do with Jordan Poole, and we can throw Draymond and Clay into it as well. Draymond can opt out. Clay's 12 months away from his contract running out. Irrespective of what they do with those guys, I don't think they can run back a roster that is this devoid of veterans off the bench as they did this year. Maybe you can speak to this, because the idea is Draymond and Clay should be your veteran leaders. And I think it's just unrealistic to expect your star guys or your main guys, whatever you want to consider them, to also be the vet in the locker room guy.
Yeah. I mean, the other part of it though, is that's why Iguodala was back. It's just that's hard to do when you're not playing. When you don't play, your voice, even though everybody respects Iggy, he's been there forever, everybody likes him, if you're not in a rotation, you know, like Udonis Haslam, okay, kind of it works, but like if you're not
he at least put the warm-ups on though.
It's hard in street clothes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that was the old thing about, you know, the like, was Iggy going to be a coach? Well, like, no, the thing he does, that doesn't work. Because if you're separated, if you feel separated from the guys, your voice diminishes, right? That's coaches, every single coach in the league, their voice gets stale. So I don't think it's a fair ask of Clay. I mean, it's a fair ask, but I think it's kind of like nonsensical because Clay just won't. Like, and that's not who he is. And he's kind of a loner and he just like doesn't care and hangs out. Draymond is one of the leaders to hold the thing together. Him and Steph are the two guys, right?
Maybe you could explain this. There's a difference between being the leaders and being a veteran, you know? Like,
absolutely.
Two separate roles. Like, you know, Steph and Draymond's voice carries more weight than anyone for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
That's different than Juan Toscano-Anderson or Otto Porter voice to a Kuminga, right?
For a couple reasons. One, because they're like sitting on the bench with them during the game while the real guys are playing.
Right, right.
They're sitting on the bench and teaching stuff about the game, but also how you become a pro. And those guys that you mentioned specifically were much happier than, like, Jamichael Green's a vet. He's been around forever. But he, at the end, seemed like he was not particularly pleased with what was going on. So
he wanted
he's
to play.
Not going
to
be, yeah. Right. So he's not going to be, he's not going to be like helping the guys navigate, you know, taking his spot, right? Because he's right. not playing. JTA, Damian Lee have come up through it, you know, not the most talented guys, have come from the G League in two ways and undrafted and all that kind of stuff. So they are going to be able to help navigate different circumstances in the league. They've seen it all and done it all at this point.
Right.
And they have a better understanding of their place in the league.
Yeah. And so to me, like there's, we'll pull up the list in a second.
It's dark, brother.
I mean, it's supposed to be. We're talking about veteran minimum guys. Like Otto Porter, I've said this since they had him. You don't get an Otto Porter every year in free agency on a veteran minimum.
You don't get him ever. That's a home run.
Yeah, once every four. Maybe a grand slam. You know, Nick Batum comes to mind as another guy who's the same thing. Like previously, they were on 25 mil a year contracts. They didn't live up to the contract because they're not first options. And but you know they're good players and they are willing to do the cheap rehab deal. So it was like a slam dunk if you're able to sign those guys. They exist, but they usually don't exist at the level which Otto was or someone like Batum was. Most of the time it's more of a Jamichael Green, you know, or an Andre Iguodala, who like yes, he's as good a player as those guys, if not better in his peak, but like he has some serious health issues. He's not like 28 dealing with like a foot. It's 38 dealing with a.
It's either,
with
an it's either guys at the end, really good one-time, really good players that are at the end of the line, or they're formerly really good players who either because of their situation just quit on their team, or they've been dealing with some injury issues, so they haven't been able. You know, they're playing six or 12 or 13 players. Games yeah, for exactly. 3 years in a row.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're trying to they're trying to rehab the image.
So, like, my overarching take looking at the free agency list is short of someone getting waived, who we can't see right now, or some unforeseen thing, there's not an Otto Porter out there in free agency. Like,
no,
there's, you know, like, Kyle Kuzma is not taking a veteran minimum.
No,
you know,
he's not. You're looking at when you mean like, a stable vet and a big dude that can shoot it? Is that what you're looking for?
I'm talking about a stable vet who is worth more than a veteran minimum, but will end up on it because for whatever reason, his situation was that way.
I mean, so if you were looking for like a reasonable facsimile of Otto Porter, I mean, honestly, I think Jamichael Green might be your best bet again.
Kevin Love.
That's who I was going to say. Yeah. I don't know if he'll take a minimum. I'm not sure he can get a full mid-level anymore, but he's probably worth a little bit more than the vet min. He can shoot it. The Warriors need big bodies.
But
he's he's not going to guard
anybody. Why would he take it over leaving, you know, taking it in Miami is my other thing, right? So
because he's not playing in Miami.
He played last series. He'll play game two.
He should. I think he should start.
Maybe
they were just getting crushed. They're just too small. But yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, there's a reason why guys are minimum guys.
Right? Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about forwards then. So, cause it's like 2 years ago, the home run of home runs with Otto Porter. You can throw Bielitsa in there. That's a quintessential positive rotation vet. And then Iguodala gave them a lot of good minutes 2 years ago as well. At least in the first half of the season, like it's easy to forget he was in the rotation during their 18-2 start. He played really well. His body didn't last past Christmas, but he did play a important role on that team. Take it forward a year, Jamichael Green was not Otto Porter, and Andre Iguodala got on the floor for three total games, and Anthony Lamb. So we're aiming for better than Lamb and better than three games of Iguodala while knowing you're probably not going to get Otto Porter at that. So, you know, guys who can, Andy likes to call them 82 game players. I kind of agree with him. This team probably needs a couple more 82 game players. Playoffs, you're going to be relying on your main guys.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here, I'm going to share this list of free agent forwards that we can both look at.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one you sent me. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I mean,
there's some interesting
Justice Winslow. The Warriors really love, you know, the Warriors really love talent, right? Mm-hmm. And pedigree. Justice Winslow, I mean,
he can that's pass. Point, I mean, he's a Steve Kerr type of player, but like, I kind of think
maybe more wing options to guard people, I guess.
I think they need floor spacing more so, honestly. When I'm looking at it, I'm like, why did Anthony Lamb play so much? He played a lot because he was smart enough to figure out their system and he hit 40% of his threes. Now he lacks NBA size and athleticism, which is why he should not have been playing. But Steve Kerr clearly wanted him out there because he had no front court shooting. Draymond's not a shooter. Looney's not a shooter. Jamichael Green couldn't play with those guys because he wasn't versatile enough. And he's not a good enough decision maker. If you're playing the four for the Warriors, they gotta trust you to be able to make a basic read, basically. You can't just be a corner guy. And so I'm looking at this list, and these are names that hop out to me. I just don't know if any of them will be attainable at a veteran minimum. No Ingles. Long in the tooth, but that dude can shoot and pass. Yeah. And he could definitely play second unit minutes for the Warriors. I don't really want him closing games, but
you just want him because Justinian Jessup, whatever happened to him, he didn't work out. So you just want the 92-year-old version of the best version of him.
I mean, he's also 6'8", 6'9". Yeah. So he can give minutes. I don't think he's leaving Milwaukee.
I mean, you want to bring JTA back?
Maybe. Other names, Dario Saric, highly unlikely.
Yeah, I don't think he takes the minimum, but I like that one.
Do you think you get him for a taxpayer mid-level?
Yes.
That's probably his range. So yes. I don't know if the Warriors are going to want to use that, but if they shed some salary, they might, you know? That's another thing to consider. Those guys are – that he's a perfect fit. Trey Lyles, I don't see Sacramento letting him go, but we saw in the Kings series another front court spacer who can rebound and defend well enough to
not
play
a
in your rotation.
Guy, but
no,
he,
not a minimum
guy. He'd be useful.
Guy. Yeah. George Niang, probably not a minimum guy either.
No, but would be useful.
What about Yuta?
Yeah, so I like that because he can shoot it and he plays hard and attacks
very
the glass.
Hard. Yeah,
he attacks the glass. And the Warriors could use a little bit. I mean, like Looney attacks the glass, but he crashes from the wings and goes and gets the ball. And the Warriors can use a little bit more juice like that.
It basically or what Anthony Lamb did, but with NBA measurables and talent.
And what I mean, honestly, what I mean, here's the other problem, right? Like all these guys we're talking about, the answer is, why are you playing them ahead of Moody and ahead of Kuminga?
True.
Right. Like, what does Kuminga do? What's his best offensive skill? Crashing the glass.
But if you think about it, these are guys you want to play next to Kuminga, because that's what they did when the Warriors had success with Kuminga the second half of the season. Their best lineup was Draymond at center, Lamb and Kuminga. Lamb, you know, again, probably not an NBA talent, but he filled the role they needed.
Probably not.
I mean, he was productive.
I'm with Andy though. Andy and I agree. We are the co-chairs of the Anthony Lamb fan club.
You get what I'm saying though. They needed someone who could fill a front court spacing role because they're not getting any offense out of their front court, you know?
No, they're not.
So having someone who can space it makes it so that Kuminga can just dunk all over everyone all the time, right? And I do get your point. In theory, you could just play Wiggins and Kuminga together, and I think they want to do stuff like that, but they need to get a little more front court offense.
Thomas Bryant is more. When AD was out, he can score a little bit. He's a horrific defensive player, but he can score.
Pure five.
Yeah.
Pure five.
I mean, he's backing up DeAndre Jordan, who is backing up Joker. So. And he fell out of the Lakers rotation. But when AD was hurt, he started, you know, whatever, 15 or 20 games and, you know, was averaging 18, 20 points a night. He can shoot it a little bit. He plays hard. But, I mean, he is so bad defensively that I don't think the Warriors
would play him. He better than Jamichael Green, or is he just going to have Jamichael's fate on the Warriors?
Is he better defensively than Jamichael Green or better in general?
In general, I mean,
no, maybe more useful for the Warriors because he's like legit. He's like has legitimate size. He's legitimately a center in the NBA. And Jamichael Green is a small ball center sometimes.
Better shooter?
No.
Okay, comparable.
No. He's good. He's fine. He's good. He's good as a five. He's good. He's a good shooter as a five. Sure. But no, he's not a better shooter in a vacuum than Jamichael.
What about T.J. Warren?
Yeah, he had some good moments in Brooklyn, and then had a few in Phoenix. Had a few decent moments in Phoenix. I don't think he's going to be a minimum guy again, but
probably not. Yeah,
but he had a few good moments.
I think a lot of this is seeing who's the odd man out to not get the $5 million a year contract and hope you can be the one to jump him. The fate, you know.
If you need more, well, I guess we could talk about this in a second because we're still on the front court. But yeah, I mean, it's. Not a lot of options.
Everyone wants a stretch big wing. Stretch
I think you can get. I think Robin Lopez. I think you can get for the minimum. He kind of looks.
Well, he's not a stretch option. That's
no.
Sure.
He's not going to shoot it, and he kind of looks cooked to me anyway. But he is, you know, from all accounts, a really good locker room guy. I think he would be a great vet. And yeah. I mean, he's legitimately 7 feet or 7 foot one. So the Warriors. I mean. Who was the tallest guy in the Warriors rotation? It was Jamichael, right?
Looney.
Looney's taller than JMG?
I mean, now we're just splitting hairs.
Yeah, okay, yes, 6'7" and 6'8". Right, I mean, PBJ is the tallest guy, but he was not in the rotation.
Correct.
But your tallest guy the tallest guy on your roster is a 6'10" shooter that doesn't play, like a 6'10" three. Like, it would be like if Michael Porter Jr. was the tallest guy on Denver. Like,
I hear you, but they won a title the year prior with Looney being the tallest guy. I don't think they need more size, but I would settle for a big wing who could shoot it over just a big, you know? So, although, I mean, you could make the argument that it'd be nice to have Lopez to throw out there so you don't need Looney to play all 82. You can't. It's 2 years in a row. He's got all 82. Like, is he really going to do it 3 years in a row? That's pretty Iron Man, you know. And then what happens? Like, I, you know, we just assume he stays healthy. What happens if Looney misses 10 games? You know, with one of any random basketball injury, which is non-consequential, but it's still 8 to 10 games you got to deal with.
So I do think another guy, I don't think you can get him for the minimum. He's probably somewhere in between the taxpayer and the minimum is Andre Drummond can still kind of play. He can still do what he does. He's a big boy. He is statistically, like, actually, this is not hyperbole. Statistically, he is the best rebounder ever, as far as percentage. I don't think, I mean, you can't play him more than about 12, 14 minutes, but he kind of fits into that category of a guy that had a huge contract, got bought out by the Pistons, signed for the minimum with the Lakers, started. One of the reasons people don't like getting buyouts is because once you sign a minimum deal, that is kind of how you're viewed around the league. So he's kind of floated around a little bit, Chicago, yeah, and Philly.
Chicago's given him three and change, so more than a minimum, right, but not the mid-level. Philly was kind of a similar type of deal.
So I think he's probably who's going to be the rest of his career. He's playing like 15 minutes a night. He can still really rebound. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll battle you defensively. He's not particularly good, and he has zero skill offensively. But, like, again, we're living in the bargain basement here.
When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
What other type of veteran should the Warriors be pursuing?
I mean,
again, I'm talking we're talking about in the margins here. These are guys who, you know, you're hoping give you 15 minutes here and there and just help you get through a season. Maybe their energy is the thing that wins you a game where everyone's dead in a January, you know, yep, in mid-January.
Austin, I think Austin Rivers is.
Should we move to the guards?
If you want to, if you're looking for a 4th/5th guard, that's, you know, and he can be had for the minimum, I would imagine. I would really like a Seth Curry reunion. That's going to be taxpayer mid-level. He's making more than that now, I think, or right around that. He's had some up in last 2 years, been up and down, but I mean, he can shoot it, and
he hasn't been healthy really.
Yeah. And he can, but you know, like one of the other problems is what happens when Steph doesn't play, and then you just die. Right. And there isn't any competent ball handling. There isn't any reliable shooting other than Clay. I think he would be useful, but I don't know that you can get him. I don't know that he's gettable. If you trade Poole, Will Barton can be kind of a spark offensive, you know.
He
can win you a quarter, he can score you 15 in a quarter and just win a quarter and turn a game around. But
what about Troy Brown Jr.?
He actually started a lot of the season for the Lakers, was out of the rotation in the Denver series, but he's got good size, he plays hard, he can shoot it a little bit. I don't think he would take the minimum because he can get offered more than that from the Lakers. So,
sure.
You know, you can get 120%.
Also, and I don't mean to do too much on this, but he's 24. Like, you know, they have enough guys who are under 25.
Yeah.
They need to add like 2 to 3 of those guys who are around 30 who are comfortable playing, but not playing some games and like, yeah, like we said,
they're more established in their career.
Veterans. Troy
Although
Brown's
he does make a little bit of sense in the same way as Justice Winslow in the kind of I called it a second draft. I don't think he was in that lottery, but he was a mid first round pick. So obviously a lot of talent at Oregon and then kind of just washed out. And sometimes those guys, usually by this time, those guys are who they are. You know, see Justice Winslow.
Sure.
The Warriors do like taking chance on pedigree, and so he would be another one of those guys that fits.
Yeah, I mean, he's talented. I just think he's probably a guy who's trying to prove he's worthy of a $10 million contract.
Yes.
And so that'll be his priority more than like teaching Moses Moody the ways. You know what I mean?
Taking Kuminga out for his first drink.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, honestly, and if we're going with the premise that there's a reasonable chance Jordan Poole is traded, and if not Jordan Poole, they might shock us by moving Clay. you know? And I don't think that'll happen, but like, I just can't see them bringing back three guards making that much money, you know, just like from a resource allocation standpoint. Yeah. Right. What,
do you think, especially when it's all like, it's all 30, right? So that gives you some advantages there in your,
you can't, I mean, you're not starting the three of them. So one of them is always going to be the dude who's hyper expensive luxury off the bench.
I think that's the other question though, is do you think having both of them back is like emotionally, psychologically?
That's the other part of it. I don't think that's possible either. So all signs point to moving off of one of them. And they're going to lie and say they want to have everyone back to try to hold any form of leverage. And who knows? They might even kick the can down the road and be like, we're trading him at his absolute lowest. Let's just keep him until we can recoup some better value. But for the
you're going to get Clay off the, you're convincing Clay to come off the bench.
I mean,
I want to be in that conversation.
I mean, my point is, for this thought exercise, let's assume they actually just do it and move him this offseason. That's one guard you're losing. Do we think Dante picks up his option or he hits free agency?
No, I think he hits free agency. He hasn't gotten a big deal yet.
What do you think you think he for sure gets over the taxpayer mid level?
Yeah, I think he gets like around the non-taxpayer mid level.
You know, that's kind of
11 and a half.
Yeah, it's out of the Warriors range. So we think he's gone. So they would need another guard no matter what, if these scenarios happen. So what about someone? So I like Austin Rivers, like just a steady, he also knows who he is at this point. Like the high school mixtape era is over.
Yes,
he just wants to be a veteran in the league. You know, like he's a good, smart player. He can play how the Warriors play. I think he makes sense. He can stick open jumpers. He makes sense. What about Javonte Green on Chicago? He's a free agent. I don't know if they're going to bring him back.
He got kind of lost in the shuffle there. He's like,
I mean, he's just redundant when you already have Caruso and like the one thing they don't lack is guys who do that sort of stuff. So
no, I just like, again, it's like when does he play? I mean, look, part of it is the Warriors.
True. I mean, you have
GP2. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you have GP2 on the roster. He's kind of redundant to GP2, assuming he's still on the team next year, which I have no reason to think he won't be. So that's not the type of guard that they really need.
I think it's like really the guard that they need is, especially if Dante leaves, as a backup point guard.
Yeah.
I mean, Jordan Poole should be, but he's not a point guard.
Steve loved Ty Jerome, and I think he was really good for a two-way guy. There's a big difference between being a two-way guy and being the every night backup. And I don't know if he's ready to take that step. I wouldn't mind giving him a 15-man spot, but like if I'm counting on him to be the backup point, I don't feel comfortable with that either. You know,
how long is Ryan Rollins guaranteed?
At least one more year.
He's on next year, but is it two? Is it three? A 3-year deal or a 2-year deal? I don't remember.
Three.
Dennis Schroeder is like a rotation.
Is he leaving the lake? Would Steve? He's not a Steve Kerr guy.
No.
Patrick Beverley might actually hit the nail, because I would not be shocked if all he can get is a vet minimum. He's 35 now.
Didn't he claim that
the next when he got 5 bought years out, were his?
Wait, what?
No. Oh, yeah. No.
He did claim that years ago. Yeah, Steph had these one the next.
No, he said the Warriors wanted him.
Right. Yeah. So maybe I don't believe him necessarily, but maybe there's some smoke.
I think they pursued him before the GP2 trade went down.
That makes sense.
But I think they would take him because he is what I think of when I think of a veteran in some ways, right? Like he's not gonna
like sit around and be happy playing 13 minutes a night backing up Steph, though.
You think so? He is a guy.
Let me say this. He had lost the locker room in with the Lakers. Let's just say that when he got traded, he was not particularly well liked. Let's say that.
Okay. Well, LA's locker room is different than the Warriors locker room.
No, absolutely.
I would not be surprised if the Warriors veterans liked him or loathed him. I could see it going to either extreme really quickly. then again, him and GP2 together sounds like a great way to never get the ball past half court.
Right. Him and GP2. So. Literally just him and GP2 and Kuminga and Looney and Draymond and win games. What about 74-69?
What about Trey Jones? Eh, he's getting, well, who am I kidding? The Spurs
oh, yeah, no, Trey Jones, one. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he's Jalen Noel on the Wolves. Yeah, that he's getting more.
Yep.
Michael Carter Williams, no. maybe they need, if they're going to move Poole, they need to get a point guard back, is what I'm taking from this list.
Well, yeah, I mean, they like, I'm seeing all this, of course, like, I think there should be like drug testing or at least like a breathalyzer for fans when before they get on the trade machine because people just post the most ridiculous stuff. But it's, this is what you have also been saying is like, you think one possible destination
for Orlando. Poole
is Orlando.
And, I mean, you got to think.
There's Suggs there and Fultz. So
if you're trading for Jordan Poole, this is what you are looking for. A young team who fits his timeline. You want him to be the one defensively, but not the one offensively. So you want him to play with a point forward in a perfect situation, of course. And it needs to be a team who gets no scoring really from their backcourt. So they're willing to deal with the fact that maybe he's not the best defender because they need his skill set. Paulo's a point forward.
Yes.
They have all the size in the world.
Yes.
They have maybe the worst guard rotation in the league. Bottom five for sure.
Ooh.
I mean,
the Rockets is pretty miserable.
Yeah. So I'll go bottom five. Spurs pretty bad. But yeah, for a team who's not awful, they get awful guard play. So yes,
that is true.
That would be
so
one.
So now you want to bring that to Golden State.
No, I mean, but I mean, like Fultz is might be an awesome six man. Maybe not so good if you're asking to be your lead creator with no spacing.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, speaking of Orlando, Mo Wagner maybe is a minimum guy. Maybe
I wouldn't mind him.
Yeah. He can shoot it.
He could definitely shoot it.
He can shoot it. He tries. I would doubt he leaves because his brother is so,
sure.
so well liked and valuable to the organization. I would guess that he stays in Orlando, but.
Toronto's the other team maybe for Poole because if they lose Van Vliet, they literally have no guards. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like a massage.
Trade Poole for Van Vliet and get hard capped, a sign and trade. Get hard capped. I mean,
it doesn't feel like a Messiah player. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't know. Well,
pulling a first for Van Vliet in a sign and trade?
They can't sign and trade.
I know, because it'd be hard capped in that.
They're too far over
the hard guys. You have like eight guys on the roster.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll leave it there. A lot more time to get into this. I feel like my main takeaway from the vet minimum thing is it's barren and they need to make decisions with their top guys before this. Because once you know what the top guys look like, you can see what veterans, are you going to trade a Kuminga and a Poole together to get something?
Right.
Or is Kuminga back?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, are you considering these veterans in the context of how do we make Kuminga better? Or are you considering them in the context of, no, we don't have Kuminga anymore, so we have more roster spots to fill? All this, yeah.
So here's the thing. Here's the other, like, the big takeaway is that you can find rotation level or low rotation level centers, like traditional fives at the minimum. You can occasionally find, like, a steady ball handler point guard at the five, but shooting – you're not going to find at the minimum, and two, three, fours. You're not going to find at the
big wings. Everyone is looking for 6'7" to 6'9" wings. That is like the thing that is the hardest to find in the league, particularly if they can hit a jumper at all. The fact that the Warriors were able to get one at a minimum 2 years ago is, it's just not something you should expect. So yeah, to your point, if they think that they need to add something like that, it's probably not through the minimum market. It's through trade.
Or
internal development, honestly. Also, at least
that's the most likely thing.
You could say what you want about the speed at which they're developing, but taking two wings with those skill set are smart draft moves because, in fact, you could throw three in there, Baldwin too. You know, those are the type of players everyone's looking for, and that's one of the better ways to get them. So
I think he needs to play. I think he should have played this year, but he definitely needs to play next year.
I agree. And that's where, if he's back next year, you're looking for the right veteran who makes it easier for him to play, not this situation where Steve's like, I can't have him on the floor because it's too much non-shooting, you know?
That's what I mean Baldwin. I think Baldwin should have played this year.
Yeah, agreed.
He's 6'10 and
well,
can stroke it. Like, yeah, he's not going to guard anybody. Yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing. But, like, other teams get something out of those guys, even in the playoffs. Like, other teams, like, Christian Brown is playing for Denver. Like, what did he do?
Fair. No, I mean, it's fair. All right, let's leave it there.
All right, brother.
Aaron, appreciate you as always, my man.
Anytime.